So we'll talk about miracles tonight, since it's Chodesh Kislev, it's the month of Kislev, which is the month where Chanukah always happens. And we know Chanukah is the holiday of miracles, not the only one, but Chanukah, and in fact, we'll go back to Chanukah at the end, but in fact, there are two major miracles. One was the miracle of the war, the fighting, Rabim Biyad Miyatim, that the minority beat the majority, the small group of Maccabees beat out the whole Syrian Greek army. And then we know we have the famous miracle of the oil, which we light every night we add another candle. So there's different miracles we can discuss when it comes to Chanukah. But let's go back a step and discuss miracles in general, and then we'll come back to Chanukah. So what is a miracle? When we talk about miracle, we talk about nature. What's the difference between something that we call miraculous and something we call derech hateva, nature? So there's a famous Ramban, Nechmanides, who points out, I'll tell you what he points out in a minute, but I'll just give you an example. Let's say you're an editor of a paper and you're deciding what should the headline be. And you have a choice of two events. You know what? I heard about there was a baby that was born, a healthy baby was born yesterday. That's one choice. Or someone resurrected the dead. Which one do you think would be a better headline? Probably resurrecting the dead. Yet our rabbis tell us it's a greater miracle, a baby being born, because at least a baby comes out of nowhere, a putrid drop, and a whole live being comes about. Well, at least resurrecting the dead, not that it's easy, but at least the body's there. You just got to get the body back working. Yet, to us, obviously, meaning not us per se, but the people, rightfully, they view resurrecting the dead as a much greater miracle. And the reason is obvious, because they rarely see that. And the babies are born now, you know, not that many. Even though in halacha we do consider childbirth a danger, even though it's not the same danger it was 50, 100, 200 years ago, that was a real danger. You know, I don't know what the odds were. But today, even though it's not really a danger, but we view it as one in halacha, a woman who gives birth, you know, we treat her as a choleb because we don't take things for granted. We don't, for the child or the mother. So that's what the Ramban says, the same concept he says, that when the Jews entered the land of Israel, Joshua said to them, you know what? You got to start working for a living. No more divine, of course, divine providence, but not that God's not going to be giving you the food from heaven. You're not going to have the well from Miriam. You got to start working for a living. Start working the land. And you know what? You're going to put a seed in the ground. There'll be a 50-foot tree that grows. You're going to have corn. You're going to have wheat crops growing out of the ground. He said, what? You're talking about, if you put a seed in the ground, food's going to grow from the ground? I don't believe it. Wow, what a miracle. But food from heaven, oh, of course food comes from heaven. You're telling me it comes from the ground? I'd like to see this miracle. So obviously we're the opposite. We're used to food from the ground. And today people don't even know it comes from the ground. They think it comes from Fortinos or Metro. They think the meat just comes in plastic. They don't realize it actually comes from an animal. The vegetables come from the ground. But the point being is, the Ramban's making is, if you brought up thinking it's normal that food from heaven, so that's not going to get you going. But you hear something new about food coming out of the ground, that's a miracle. So we see this, the difference isn't from God's angle. God could do either one the same way. But from a human perspective, something that happens all the time we call nature. Something that happens once in a while we call miraculous. In fact, there's a famous story with the Beis Halevi, one of the great from the Soloveitchik dynasty. He says there was this miser, very wealthy miser, who didn't like to give any money to charity, but he liked miracles. So the Beis Halevi went over to him and said, how about if I do a miracle, would you give money to charity? He said, okay, if you do a miracle, I'll give money to charity. So he's there with his little son, Chaim, and he says, okay, give me whatever, let's make him up. Give me $4,000 bills. I don't know if they exist or not, but that's what you give him. And you see, I'm going to put them on the four corners of the table. There's a bowl in the middle, And you know what? I'm going to make the $4 bills come from the ground up on the table. He says, okay, that sounds like a good miracle. If you could do that, I'm in. So he takes his $1,000 bills, and then he says, Chayimo, meaning his son, go take the dollar bills and put them on the bowl. So the guy says, that's not a miracle. He said, getting money from you, that's a miracle. So it's all about perspective, what a miracle is, what isn't. So they point out, so we ask we'll ask a couple of questions. We'll see apparent contradictions in the Talmud, and we'll try to reconcile. So question number one is, do we have miracles today? So of course, it depends what we mean by miracles, but do we have miracles today? So on one hand, the Gemara tells us in Yuma, on Daf Chav Ches 28, that L'Matzeach Ala Yeles HaShachar, the Gemara tells us that Purim was the last of the miracles. The Purim story, that is the last of the miracles. And it says, just like daytime is the end of night, is Sof Kol Laila, so too Purim was the end of the miracles. The Gemara said, what about Hanukkah? They give an answer, not for us now. But what do we see from this Gemara? It seems to imply we don't have miracles anymore. Another Gemara in Brachas, on Daf Chav 20, they're discussing back and forth about why don't we have miracles today? Why did the previous generation have miracles and we don't? So again, it gets into they appreciate, they gave up more. Whatever the answer is, doesn't make a difference for our purposes. The point being, the Gemara is saying we don't have miracles anymore. So on one hand, we see from those two Gemaras that we don't have miracles today. On the other hand, if you open up a Shulchan Aruch, a code of Jewish law, and in fact, the Mishnah Berurah, the Chafetz Chaim, who lived like 100 years ago, he writes, he says, what is the halacha, what is the law, if you pass by a place where a miracle happened to you? So there's a bracha. You say, Sha'asali Nes B'makam Hazeh. You make a blessing on thanking God for the miracle he did in this place. And in fact, what kind of miracle? So the example they give is, if let's say you're in the Negev, you're in a desert where there's no water, and all of a sudden, out of the ground, water starts sprouting in the middle of Arizona, whatever. So on that type of miracle, when you go back to that place, you make a blessing. So the Chafetz Chaim lived 100 years ago, and he's talking about miracles. So what's going on here? Do we have miracles today or don't we? On one hand, from the Gemaras, it seems no, but yet Halacha seems to say we do. That's one question. Q2.
What's the definition of a miracle?
Yes, that's something that will be part of it. You know, whether we said the natural versus the supernatural, but that's what we'll get into. Question number two is, let's assume there are miracles today. And in fact, you know, if you're a Denver Bronco fan, if you follow football, then you definitely believe in miracles. This guy is, it's all in the news. Tim, actually, I was in Detroit for Shabbos, and I was speaking about miracles. So I said, when it's mid-December and the Detroit Lions are still in the playoff hunt, that is a miracle. But I'm saying this guy, he's a Denver quarterback, and he basically, he's a Christian. He wears his religion on his sleeve. So some people hate him. They love him, depending on where you're coming from. And basically, talent-wise, he can't throw a ball that well. But knowing it's hard to explain, and maybe impossible to explain, but he's won like six games. You know, the team was 1-4 before he took over, and he's won like 6 out of 7. But not only did he win, but the way he wins, like they're doing nothing the whole game, and then he'll come and do something in the last couple. And by not just 1 week, he's done it, did it like 5-6 weeks in a row. So either way, so let's assume we do have miracles today. Do you want a miracle to happen to you? Is it a good thing that a miracle happens to you? Because remember, be careful what you pray for, because it might happen. You learned about prayer. I don't know, I walked in. I don't know if you're talking about prayer or not. But be careful what you pray for, because you might get it. So do you want a miracle? So there's a Gemara in Tainis. Interesting Gemara. The Gemara tells us, Rav Yosef, one of the rabbis, he went out, him and his son and his workers went out to work in the field. And it was the work, who knows, 7 o'clock and then 8 o'clock. They're out there a couple of hours. It's hot. They're getting hungry. And they take their lunch break. And all of a sudden, the son realized, I forgot all the sandwiches. The The food's not here, so these workers are starving or they're hungry. They weren't going to die, but they and you know they could have went back and got them, but they were sitting under a fig tree, and so Rav Yosef's son said, "You know what? Let's do a miracle." And they were unripe figs. He did a miracle, and all the figs became ripe, and they ate them all up, and they were full, and they couldn't eat anymore. So then Rav Yosef's father came and said, "You guys are probably starving. You forgot your lunches at home." He said, "Are you kidding me? We couldn't even eat anymore if we tried." So he said, "What are you talking about?" So Rav Yosef told, the son told Rav Yosef what he did. And Rav Yosef was steaming. In fact, the Gemara rebukes him for coming down too hard. And he says, "Are you kidding me? You caused God to break the laws of nature by bringing the figs before that time. You're going to die before your time." He was very harsh on his son, and he was very clearly very upset. And actually, if you're going to get miracles, at least don't waste it on figs. Have some beef ribs, some Miami ribs. That's what I would say. But either way, so the Gemara rebukes him. But what do we see? The Gemara doesn't think it's a good thing. To do a miracle, it's going to cost you. It's no such thing as a free lunch. You want a miracle because you got the figs, now you're going to die earlier. So even if you do have miracles, maybe you don't want them. And another Gemara in Shabbos, this couple got married, they were very poor, and then nothing to do with the wife died. So the husband was stuck with a little baby who was like breastfeeding and they didn't have any food. So a miracle happened one night, the man grew breasts. I don't know if they could do that today or not, but a man grew breasts and he was milking the baby. And the Gemara says, "Kama garua davazeh, how terrible that is. You caused God to break the laws of nature." And so again, do I want a miracle? Menachin lo zichu yosef, it's going to cost you. It's probably not worth the cost benefit. So we see two Gemaras saying, even if you do have miracles, I don't know, make sure you want it. On the other hand, there's another Gemara in Tainis, the next page, and they can't say they didn't know the page before, and it says, this great Rabbi Hanina Mendoza. So in his house, it was Friday afternoon getting late, it was hectic before Shabbos, and the daughter came running into the father and saying, "I made a mistake. I put vinegar in the lights instead of oil." So Hanina says, "What are you worried about? Relax. He who commands oil to burn will also command vinegar to burn." And burn it did. In fact, they say it lasted to Havdalah. They used those candles for Havdalah that Shabbos. So what's going on here? You're asking God to do miracles? So on one hand, we see the first two Gemaras say how terrible it is, yet Hanina Mendoza thinks, what's the big deal? Of course, what's the difference? Oil, vinegar. So that's the second question. Do we want miracles to happen? Question three. Assuming there are miracles and we want them, are we allowed to pray for them? Could I pray for a miracle to happen to me? So there's a Gemara in Brachas. Actually, we talked about this week's parasha, Leah, that when Leah realized that she was pregnant again and really she's supposed to have another son, but she felt bad for her sister Rachel, the maidservants are going to have more kids than her, more boys. So she prayed, and in utero, they say that Yosef and Dina switched. Dina was really in Leah's womb. And in fact, that's why it's interesting. Some commentators point out, we see the residue of this. What do we find Yosef doing all the time? Not all the time, but we find him worrying about his appearance, combing his hair, because he really was a girl who they switched over to. And Dina was like a tomboy. She was out running around on the road, which was uncommon then. So either way, so the Gemara talks about over there, are you allowed to pray? Let's say your wife's pregnant or someone's pregnant. Could you pray that it's a boy, girl, whatever you want to pray for? So the Gemara says, no, after it depends at what point. If it reached the stage where the Gemara assumed at that point 40 days, whether science agrees or disagrees, that's a separate discussion. Let's assume up until 40 days, it could go either way, so it's okay. But the 40 days, you can't pray anymore because it's a tefillah shav. It's a waste. It's a prayer in vain. What are you praying for? It already happened. Like someone's riding home from work and they hear fire engines on the block. And they say, "I want to pray. It's not my house on fire." Who are you praying for? Is your next door neighbor's house on fire? So besides the theology of praying that someone else, that's not, but it's too late. The fire is there. You know, you could pray, hopefully the fire is not so bad, it won't spread, but don't pray, you can't pray there's no fire, the fire is there. So you can't pray on something already happened. So the Gemara says, but Leah did, so Leah was an exception to the rule. But normally you're not allowed to pray for a miracle, that's the rule. Yet we find by Hanukkah something different. If you, when in, we make certain additions in our davening, so we add a hanisim, we talk about in our benching and davening. What happens if you forget al hanisim in benching? So the halacha is, you wait to the end of benching, there's a, when you get to the harachaman, you'll see one about Hanukkah, it says, God, nasago nisim neflo, so God, you do miracles for me. So we're saying in this harachaman, we're praying God to do miracles. We just finished saying we don't pray for miracles. So which one is it? Do we pray for miracles or not? And lastly, Q4, we have a principle, Ein Somchin Al Hanes. We don't rely on miracles. That you know, it's up for you. You can't just say, okay, God, you know, let this happen. God helps those who help themselves. You go ahead and do it, and hope, you know, and God will help us when he sees fit. So we can't go around relying on miracles. Why not, the Gemara says? Because number one is, maybe it won't happen. And secondly, if it does happen, you're in trouble. You're wasting all your merits. Or not wasting it, but you're using up all your merits. So we know there's a story in Navi that when they were traveling with the ark, and the ark looked like it was about to fall down, this guy Uzzah tried, you know, you see something falling, you automatically go, and he was punished for it. He says, the ark carries itself. How dare you think you're going to carry the ark or carry the luchos? He was rebuked and punished for it. So in some canal and age, you don't rely on miracles. If I see the ark falling, shouldn't I try to catch it? So which one is it? Do I rely on miracles or not? So are there miracles today or not? On one hand, we see the two Gemaras seem to say Purim was the last miracle. The later generations, the previous generations have it. Now that's another hand. The Shulchan Aruch says you make a bracha that if you pass by a place where a miracle happened, so clearly miracles do happen. And do we want miracles to happen? On one hand, we don't. The case with the figs, unripe figs, the man growing breath, not a good thing. Yet, Chanina Mendoza, oil and vinegar, who cares? Bring it on, God, all the miracles we want. Question 3, do we pray? We're not supposed to pray for miracles. Leah was an exception to the rule. We can't pray, let this be a boy or girl. It's decided already. On the other hand, on Hanukkah, we do pray for miracles. Number 4 is, do we rely on miracles or not? So we know we normally say not, but yet Uzzah was punished for, in fact, let's go back to our favorite, Chanina ben Dosa, another story in the Gemara. He had a yeshiva, and you know, being a teacher, you know, it doesn't take much to distract the students. Imagine a bee comes in the classroom or anything, they're all over the place. So in this case, there were snakes around, and the snake was coming out of the hole. And the kids say, no, we can't learn now, we're always scared of the snake. He said, okay, tell me where the snake is. So he said, it's coming out of that hole. So he takes off his shoes, he goes barefoot, he puts his foot on top of the hole, and the snake bites him, and he dies. That is, the snake dies. Not Chanina ben Dosa. And the kids come up with the song, woe to the snake who comes in contact with Chanina ben Dosa. Ain't some canal on ace. How could you rely on miracles? So do we rely on miracles or not? So basically the commentators explain, it depends on, you know, what level a person is holding on. In other words, let's say Moshe Rabbeinu. They said he didn't eat 40 days and 40 nights. So is that like a hunger protest, like some people in jail, I'm not eating, or let's say you get dropped by your girlfriend and you're too depressed to eat, whatever the case may be, and you're not protesting, you just can't eat, or you're upset, whatever the... No, Moshe Rabbeinu, see, nature, we don't have to worry about it, but for some people like Moshe Rabbeinu, who live, they see God on a much higher level, nature is very restricting. In other words, to us, nature is normal, that's the way we live. But the fact that, it's not that he said, I'm not going to eat. He was so intensified, connected to God, He didn't even realize he wasn't. He wasn't like he was specifically not eating. It just didn't happen. Hanina ben Dosa, he lived his life with God around him all the time. There was no difference to him, vinegar, oil. To someone who lives that kind of life, there's no problem. As we said, there's no difference between nature and supernatural. It's only what our perception is. To that person, he lives with miracles. He doesn't even view it as a miracle. This is normal life for him. But someone who lives like all of us, a normal existence, that's the only way we can live, asking God or having God break the laws of nature for us, that's not a good thing. In fact, we're not far from Niagara Falls. There's a famous story with Bobo the Acrobat. Bobo the Acrobat, I've heard it in different names. Basically, he was a famous acrobat. In fact, last week I was walking by in the hall, I saw a TV on, and someone wanted a tightrope over Niagara Falls. They didn't let him. So, but Bobo they did let, apparently, or he asked for forgiveness instead of permission. But either way, so he says, Bobo comes down, he says, come down, I'm going to do something miraculous, great. You know, a couple hundred people show up. What are you going to do, Bobo? I'm going to tightrope over Niagara Falls. And they're all cheering him on. He's the greatest Bobo. What a miracle. He says, you haven't seen anything yet. Come back tomorrow. Bring your friends, bring your family. I'm going to do something even greater. So he goes and he comes back. You know what I'm going to do? You see, I'm going to tightrope again, but I'm going to put a blindfold on. I'm going to do it without looking. Oh, Bobo, wow, you're the greatest. They're cheering him on, and he does it. Amazing. He says, I want you to come back tomorrow, bring more friends. I'm going to do something even more spectacular. So now thousands of people are around there. And he says, you know what I'm going to do today? Yeah, Bobo, you're the best. Everyone's screaming, hollering like a game. Yay, Bobo. Go, Bobo. And then he says, you know what I'm going to do today? I'm going to tightrope over Niagara Falls with a blindfold. And they see he has one of these wheelbarrows with him. He says, you know what? I'm going to push someone in the wheelbarrow while I blindfold. Oh, wow, Bobo, you're the greatest. Amazing. You're going to push someone in a wheelbarrow. So he says, yeah, any volunteers? Silence in the crowd. As the Maimonides says, no one actually believes based on miracles. If you believe based on miracles, you're a fool. Of course, at least not in our religion anyway. That God doesn't do any, and of course we do, we have miracles, but it's not the focus of our emunah. We don't believe in God based on miracles. That could solidify our faith, etc. But the basis isn't based on miracles. That's what Maimonides writes. And that's a person who lives by miracles, so there's no difference to him. Vinegar, oil, you can put your foot, it's all the same. But to us who live on a regular, normal level, so all these things, we can't ask God to break, we don't pray for miracles, we don't ask God to break the laws of nature for us, all these things are for us. A Jew lives based on emunah, we have to live based on faith, and we do everything we can, and hopefully God helps us along. God helps us along as well. So they point out that by Chanukah, we said Chanukah breaks the rule, because on Chanukah we say in the benching that we ask for miracles. So the question is, how can we ask for miracles? So there are a couple of different answers. How do we pray for a miracle during Chanukah time? So number one is it depends who. There's a qualification. You can't pray for a miracle to happen to yourself. But if you're praying for the Jewish people, you're praying for the public, that's something it's okay. In fact, we find during Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we add in our Shemona Esrei. In the beginning, we make certain insertions. Let me go back. There are three categories to the Shemona Esrei. See, when we say prayer, when we say davening, we mean the whole prayer book. But when the Talmud talks about prayer, it means specifically Shemona Esrei, the Amidah. So there are three sections to the Amidah. The first three blessings are praise. The middle blessings are requests. And the last three blessings are thank you. So the first three blessings and the last three never change. The middle, on we don't make requests on Shabbos and Yantiv, so those we change. So it's interesting, during the 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, we add in different things in the praise section. God, remember us, Micha Mocha Avarachu. It seems like we're making requests in the first. How could we make requests in the first section? So, two answers. One answer is, what greater praise to God? If I'm making a request to you, that means I actually believe you could help me. I'm not going to go around asking some guy in the street, why don't you help me out? Why don't you do it? Because I don't think you can. The fact that we're putting our hands in God's hands, that is the greatest praise. Or, other answers, the way we're saying is, because we're asking in plural. You can't make a request for yourself in this section, but a request for the Jewish people, for the world, that's okay. That's one answer. Another answer is, it depends. You can ask for God to do a miracle through a natural means. Like, the guy doesn't have to grow breasts. Someone can knock on his door and deliver a carton of milk to him. That's okay. And some say the opposite. If you're going to do a miracle, it might as well happen breaking the laws of nature, because how is anyone going to know a miracle happened? If you want to sanctify God's name, people have to know. And then others point out, it depends. If you're doing it for a mitzvah, so then it's okay. And lastly, they point out during Hanukkah time, see, when God created the world, let's say, and then so during the 6 days of creation, he implanted in the world when miracles will happen. So in other words, he said, like Kriyas Yamsuf, the splitting of the Red Sea, that was already planned from the beginning of creation, and we knew the sea was going to split. So to Hanukkah is a time for miracles. That built into the nature, these 8 days of Hanukkah in Jewish history, there have always been times of miracles, and normally we can't ask for miracles, but that's asking God to do something he doesn't usually do. But during Hanukkah time, that's okay. As we pointed out, there are two miracles on Hanukkah. One is the miracle of the war. One is the miracle of the oil. Which would you say is the greater miracle? The miracle of the oil or the miracle of the war? You'd say war?
No, that, the oil.
Oil, okay.
Doesn't matter.
To tell you that there is no better.
In the water, you always have a chance.
Because it doesn't, you know, miracles don't matter. What you're saying is basically, this is all historical. We're not talking about everyday life. We're not talking about any relevant to ourselves. This is folklore.
What do you mean?
Well, we've asked questions, you know, but this has been basically you telling us folklore stories, but there's been no discussion about how any of this relates to our life.
No, but it was an improbable fact that it happened, right?
Right, but that we didn't mean that we haven't got that far right now. But I'm saying right now we're discussing. I'm discussing Jewish sources, how they view miracles.
That's telling us.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'm telling you what the time. I'm not reading a Jewish folklore book and telling you. I'm quoting you from the Talmud, from the Shulchan Aruch. Yes, I've been saying right. So, in terms of how the miracles happen and that, you know, a person could choose to believe a miracle happened. These are, you know, whether it's Hanukkah or that, these are just different stories in the Gemara. Right, yeah. So...
But the purpose of telling stories is to help people learn from them, not just to hear them.
100%, yeah. So therefore, that's what we're getting to. So therefore, that's what they point out. So one of the rabbis, Pinchas ben Yair, who was one of the rabbis. So speaking of stories, the story goes he was walking on water. He did it the first one. So his student said to him, "Tell me the secret, Rebbe. How do you do it?" Like you say, abracadabra, there's some type of code here. So he says, you want to know the secret? I'll tell you the secret. You want miracles to happen for you or to others? If you could say that since the day you were born, let's say you were 12 or 13, the time you were bar bat mitzvah, and you could say you never caused harm to another human being, then you'll be able to do the same thing I'm doing. In other words, obviously, God does miracles, but ultimately, what he was saying is man does the miracles. In other words, if you reach a level, you work on your midos, you work on your characteristic traits, and you become such a person that you never cause harm to someone else. So you're creating the miracle. Obviously, God's behind the scenes, but you're the one who's doing it. In fact, that's what they point out by the miracle by Hanukkah. There was the miracle of the war, and there's the miracle of the oil. So obviously, the war is a more important miracle because we'd be dead. We'd be dead if not. The oil wouldn't be doing us any good if there's no one alive. So obviously, clearly the miracle of the war is the greater miracle. It saved
it's more
our
important, but yeah. It's still a probability, right? You can always win a war even.
That's right. Very good. That's the point I'm going to make right now. So the miracle of the war. So we know, and that's the one we mentioned in davening, in Al Hanisim, in our prayers, we mention, we thank God for the miracle of the war. Yet if you look in the Talmud doesn't discuss the war, it only discusses the miracle of the oil. So how come that in our prayers we discuss only about the war, but in the Talmud they only discuss the oil? So the commentators explain is because the Gemara's question was based on which miracle do we institute the holiday of Hanukkah? What is the holiday of Hanukkah instituted on? So the Gemara says that's the miracle of the oil. Why was the miracle of the oil picked, not the miracle of the war? Because exactly as you were saying, because the miracle of the war is it wasn't like a miracle where they took out guns and they shot the guns and the beast came out and ate up the enemy. That's not the way the war works. Same thing, all these tremendous miracles that happened with the Israelis' war, but it happens in a normal way. But the fact that the few beat the many. So definitely, and there are people who could say, well, nothing new with God. We have a great Israeli army. We know, we study well. That's probably true. You do have a good army. You did study well. But ultimately, you don't necessarily have to see the hand of God. You could think it's a great, you know, army that did it. And therefore, you know, it was the whole discussion by the Hatikvah, you know, whether putting God's name in the Hatikvah. So obviously, the religious people said yes. The secular said no. Why, what does God have to do with anything? So they compromised and they used the word tsur, rock. So rock in Hebrew, you know, also refers to God. And rock can mean arm whatever you wanted. So they point out that if you look at the war itself, you could argue either way. A religious person's not going to prove to a secular, you could have your own opinion about it. You could think all the Israelis were a miracle, and you could think it was because I prepared, I studied, I'm a better shooter, and there could be elements of both in there. However, when it comes to the miracle of the oil, that's breaking the laws of nature. That was clearly, the act itself was miraculous. So we instituted the holiday of Hanukkah based on the miracle of the oil, because we wanted to show that just like that miracle of oil was clearly, no one would argue that it was a miracle that oil lasted 8 days instead of 1 day, so too all the other miracles that happened, the war and other things, that also was the hand of God. And in fact, that's what do we learn from all these miracles? Or what's the, let's say, Kriyas Yam Suf is known as the prototype of all miracles. Why? We could probably go through Jewish history and show there's so many more greater in supernatural quality. We could find so many more miracles, greater. So why is the splitting of the Red Sea known as the prototype of all miracles? So
it's probably
by law of nature. No, but I'm saying
it was because there was lots of reasons, but one of the reasons why it was because it was before the entire nation. Everybody witnessed it.
Right, that didn't make it any more. The quality of, you know, making the sun stop, making the moon. So what does it say in the Chumash? It says, right before we sing the Oz Yoshi Moshe that we say every day in Davening, we say, Vayaminu v'Hashem uv'Moshe Avdo. And they believed in God and Moses the servant. In other words, what's the measuring stick of how great a miracle is, you know, because you can do miracles all the time. Who cares? You said they're worthless. If you do a miracle, and I don't, what miracle? Who cares what you do? You're playing some games, you know, some card tricks. It's not going to do anything to me. Like, you know, to go walk on water. Wow, so I'll find out what the trick. You know, magicians don't like giving away their tricks, so we'll find out. We don't. Now we see a magician and think like, wow, what a miracle. We know there's something going on here. So how do you judge a miracle? By the association to the divine. In other words, why was Kriyas Yamsuf the greatest miracle? What happened? The Jews became believers. In other words, we find by Har Carmel when Eliyahu HaNavi was having a... Basically, the Jews were schizophrenics. Half the day they were worshipping idols. The other half they were worshipping God. Eliyahu had enough. He said, you can't just stand on the fence. You got to make a choice. Either all in or all out. You got to pick one of us. None of this, okay, I'll serve both of them. So he had a contest, and they were going to have... And the one whoever won the contest, that's who they'd believe in. So when Eliyahu is praying to God, he seems to be redeemed. He says, Aneni Hashem Aneni. Answer me, God, answer me. So it's redundant. What do you mean, answer me? Was he stuttering or something? Like this, answer me, God. God heard you the first time. So that's what they explain. God, Aneni, God, answer me, God, that the miracle will happen. The fire will come down from heaven and consume my sacrifice. But I know people see miracles all the time and it's meaningless. Like they're here today, gone tomorrow. Aneni Hashem, Aneni. Let them, and the second Aneni is answer me that they see that they associate with the divine and they realize it's coming from you and you get them to come back to me. That's the, as the Rambam says, you don't, miracles for the sake of miracles, you know, you're a fool. You know, miracles doesn't do anything. It's not, you can do all the miracles in the world, but if no one's going to associate it, that's what the Kriyas Yamsuf is all about. And that's what modern, you know, going, we don't, we could go back even more, but since 1948, and obviously the more you know, the more you're amazed in terms of all the miracles behind the scenes, how Israel came about, how they exist today. The Scud missiles fall over there where they could have like killed thousands of people. They just fall over here in the middle of no. You know, I'm sure everyone has their own accounts of what different stories have happened in, you know, here, Israel, or whatever. And the point is, the greatness of the miracle is the association with the divine. If you realize that you view it as a miracle and then it impacts you on your life, that's the power. The miracle is worthless. If God has a miracle, okay, good. You're as good as your last at bat. God, you know, I think you got to do better. If you do a better miracle, then maybe I'll believe, or that type of thing. So we don't believe based on miracles. Miracles don't hurt, you know, if they happen to come along the lines. But the point is, we have to have our emunah, and the miracles have to be based on that. And that's what the commentators explain. And that's the lessons of Hanukkah into our everyday life. That this is Hanukkah. There are many people who say Yehuda HaMakabi. It was the Maccabi. Are you kidding me? Like, what did God have to do with it? The strong, the Maccabees, they beat the army. So too, you know, many people feel they're, you know, the great Israeli army. That's the reason why. In fact, that's why that was the concern. The rabbis were concerned. If we only had the miracle of the war, all they'd be talking about is Yehuda HaMakabi and the Israeli army. But the miracle of the oil shows that not only was the oil a miracle, but even the war, which one could, and that's everyday life basically, is we go through our days all the time, and all the things that happen to us, you know, whether things we're expecting, the unexpected, all that. The trick is, you know, is to see the divine and everything, you know, whether it's, as we said, is it miracle nature? It's all how we perceive it. You know, the same people could see the same thing, but one would say, wow, what a miracle. Other ones say, like, what's the big deal? You know, this happens all the time. It's basically, as the Meshech Chachma points out, we say it out with davening every day, Ashrei, three times a day. And the Gemara says, if you say Ashrei every day, you warrant reward in the world to come. It's a good thing. Yet the Gemara also says somewhere else, what it says Hallel every day is like a blasphemer, is a cursing God. So the problem is, Hallel comes in the book of Tehillim, Ashrei comes in the book of Tehillim. So I don't get it. You tell me, if I read from this book, I'm great and I'm terrible at the same time. So which one is it? So that's what they explain. When does one say Hallel? when a miracle happens, God breaks the laws of nature on all the holidays, Hanukkah, Pesach, etc., and then we say Hallel. So someone only sees God when he breaks the laws of nature. You only see God in those miracles. You're as good as your last at bat. That person is a blasphemer. You basically don't appreciate anything. What is Ashrei? If you look in Ashrei, the next time you daven and you're of the Siddur, it's in the form of Aleph, Beis, Gim. Someone who sees God in the everyday things. I woke up this morning. I have two eyes. I have two legs. I'm healthy. I could function, or I could go to the bathroom. You know, you could go on and on what the list is. If you see God in the everyday things, someone only sees God when miracle happens. You're a blast and you're missing the whole point of it. It's not the miracle. It's seeing God in everyday life, the things that we have in common with the animals, and realize those are the things, you know, that we have to appreciate. The everyday things of life, that's the person who's praised. And that's how we have to view things. And everything is not just us when God breaks the cause, and, you know, and he'll do it once in a while. Who knows when he will, when he won't. But that's not the miracles we have to focus on. That we don't have those today. It's the everyday miracles. As the Mishnah, as in Pirkei Avos, it says, who is the rich person? Ezu Asher, Hasameach Bechelko, one who is happy with the lot. So Asher rich is spelled Ayin, Shin, Yud, Resh. So the rabbis tell us, Ayin stands for, who's the rich person? Ayin stands for eyes, Einayim. Shin stands for Shinayim, teeth, your mouth. Yud stands for Yadayim, arms. And Resh stands for Raglayim, leg. You know who the wealthy person is? One who has eyes, a mouth, a legs. And those are the people who appreciate the little things. Those are the people who appreciate all the miracles and anything else that happened. And that's what it's all based on gratitude, Hakaras HaTov. People who don't have gratitude, many people today, they feel it's the right that God give them. You know, we're the generation of they to feel they have everything coming to them. And the problem is, if you feel that way, you can get 100 things, but if you don't get the 101 thing, it's kind of like a child. The problem with a child, and that's why we don't. Until bar mitzvah, but you know, we could discuss 13 or 20, but the point being, a child is an amazing thing in many ways, but a child could, it's total, there's no balance, it's total focus. You give him a toy, he is the happiest person in the world. 5 minutes later, you take something away, he's like, it's not appreciated, well, I have this, I have that. That's all they know is, unfortunately, it's normal for a child to be that way. But many adults are that way. It's part of being a human being is you have to have the balance and realize and appreciate what you have, what you don't have. And that's what they point out is Ezu Asher Sameach Bechelko. The greatest miracle is appreciating life. All the things that happen daily. We wake up in the morning, we can walk home and all the, you know, whatever, all these other things. And that's the lesson. The lesson of miracles, whether it's miraculous, natural, is to appreciate the things, the people, you know, things that we have in life, and don't take things for granted. You take things for granted, you'll be a miserable person. No one's happy. Happiness is a serious problem that I think one has a moral obligation to be happy, because there's nothing worse than being next to someone miserable. No one wants to be around someone who makes everyone else constantly complaining. You have a moral obligation to your kids, to your spouse, to whoever, the people you work with, to try to, you know, at least fake happy, because the truth is if you fake to be happy, then you'll probably become happy if you go through the motions. The point being is no one wants to be, and therefore that's what it's all about. Taking our everyday things and turning them into miracles, that's what the lesson of miracles is all about. Any questions?